Well, good morning. So good to see you. Thank you for being here. And I really am excited to be back on the platform and teaching this weekend. But aren't we better for what Steve Carter gave us the last 3 weeks? Phenomenal teacher. We're privileged to have him as a part of our teaching team this year. But if you're a guest, if you missed it, you can go to northridgechurch.com. He did a series called Stronger, and I really, really encourage you to check it out if you've missed it. But we're in this series that you just saw on Breaking Through, and I have to tell you, it's a series that I'm absolutely committed to because in my own life, I'm finding the only thing that holds me back from experiencing the fullness of God's promises is that I don't claim God's power to break through. And I know that's true of you as well. And it's true in all kinds of areas. This weekend, we're looking at the area of our own personal limitations, our own lack of capacity. And very often, I just feel like it's my lack of capacity that keeps me from experiencing God's best. It's just not true. And I've had to learn it the hard way. I don't know about you, but when I was young, I had a very, very unhealthy, and please know what I'm saying, unhealthy confidence in myself. I mean, I just really thought I was all that, right? And I'll just give you some examples about this, but the truth is, I thought that I could do anything I set my mind to. And my parents didn't help the matters any because my parents said, Brad, you can do anything you set your mind to. You can become anything you want to be. And I bought it hook, line, and sinker. Well, I just have to tell you, my parents didn't help. It was wrong. I was wrong. And it was a setup for my own personal failure. I had this idea that I had the capacity to do whatever needed to be done, to become anything I needed to become, and I was wrong. And example, I played basketball when I was in high school, right? I mean, you look at me and you just know I must have been a basketball player, right? Yeah, not. In America, I was never better than sixth man. That means I was never a starter. At best, I was the first sub in, right? And I have to tell you, basketball was my sport. I practiced it hours every day. I went to basketball camps. I invested myself fully in basketball. And in America, the best I ever became was sixth man. And I wasn't on great teams. Now, I say in America because I lived in Canada for 2 years. And in Canada, I was a star player, first string, best on the team. Celebrated. But you have to remember, it's not a big deal. In Canada, the great athletes play. Yeah, curling has better athletes in it than basketball in Canada. And, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, throw anybody under the bus, but seriously. So I graduated from high school, and I wasn't recruited by any colleges for basketball, and this was my whole life in high school, right? I mean, I wanted to be recruited, and I wanted to play basketball. And so I thought my coaches just had missed it all those years, and so I decided I was gonna try out for my college team as a walk-on. And it was the first time I'd been around any of these kind of players, and I was out there, and I'm just telling you, as it turns out, I was a legend in my own mind, but I was no good at basketball when it came down to it. These people were unbelievable. I wasn't even a first stringer in college in intramural. You know, I was like, I just didn't belong there. My abilities in basketball were limited. I could not become anything I wanted to become. I couldn't become great at basketball. But that's just a trivial area, right? But it's true in all areas of my life. I mean, the greatest area of our life is the area of relationships. God says the great command hinges on loving him and loving others. It's about relationships. And for the longest time, I really thought as a young person that I was really a catch, right? So that any girl that I chose to date or to marry would be the luckiest girl on the planet. I told you I had an unhealthy confidence in myself. Well, jump ahead. Roxanne, my wife of 39 years now, will tell you that I was very wrong about myself. She does not consider herself the luckiest girl in the world to have found me, and She has not found me to be the most lovable, best at relationships guy on the planet. Now, yes, she loves me. She loves me dearly. But as it turns out, it's because she is good at relationships and she puts up with me. I mean, it's like, I'm not that great. Roxanne's made me look better than I am. Did I say that right, honey? Is that how you? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. She didn't write that. Leadership is something I care deeply about. God's put me in my entire life positions of leadership where so much rides on it. And for the longest time, I genuinely thought I was a leadership gift to the world. I really did. I literally, and I'm just trying to be transparent, I couldn't vocalize for the longest time in my life the concept that there were better leaders than me. Even though it was obvious when you looked around, there were. And time has proven me wrong. There are way better leaders than me. I should have figured it out when I totally blew my first leadership opportunity as a pastor of a church of 18. I blew the place up. I mean, I was horrible at it. I have, as it turns out, some pretty big limitations and shortcomings as a leader. Now, it's true that Northridge is an amazing place, but it's, now get this, this is important to get, it's not because I'm a great leader. And you need to get this. It's because of God's great capacity to do great things through anyone he chooses. This is the reality of God. And if we're honest, we all have huge limitations in our lives. All of us do. And yet all of us seem to ride on the fumes of the idea that it's our capacity that will make us great. It's our capacity that even in the spiritual life will ultimately help us to excel. And all we have to do is work at it and set our minds to it. But it's not true. We can't do anything we set our minds to. Just because we dream a big dream doesn't mean we can achieve all of our big dreams. So this weekend, I want us to take a look at one of the things that I believe limits us, and I mean all of us, more than anything else in life. I want to show you the reality that our greatest personal limitations stem from a lack of faith. Our greatest personal limitations are not, we're not tall enough to play basketball, or we're not coordinated enough to be athletic, or we don't have the skill sets to be great at relationships, or we don't have the highest capacities of the greatest leaders on the planet, or whatever our issues are. Those aren't our great personal limitations. Our greatest personal limitations stem from a lack of faith. And this isn't me making stuff up. This is God communicating to us. Look at, if you would, Matthew chapter 14, starting with verse 28. It's a storm on the Sea of Galilee, and the 12 disciples are in a boat, scared to death, and Jesus walks out in the water in the middle of the night. I mean, freak out moment. And look what Peter does. Lord, if it's you walking on that water, tell me to come to you on the water. So Jesus said, come. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, remember, he's now walking on water with Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. And here's what Jesus said. What kind of idiot are you? You can't walk on water. You don't have the ability to walk on water. What were you thinking? Is that what Jesus said? No, he didn't say that. Here's what he said. You of little faith, why did you doubt? All right, let me ask you a question. Did Peter have, in his own personal capacity, the ability to walk on water? No. But God did And in this circumstance, Peter only sank, not because he couldn't as a human being walk on water. He only sank. His great personal limitation in this moment was the fact that he lacked faith. Jesus said it. Now you need to get this reality down because it's keeping all of us from experiencing what God has given to us. Our greatest personal limitations stem from a lack of faith. And let me tell you the reason. The reason is that while we have significant personal limitations, I mean, we do. None of us are the most gifted people in the world. None of us have all the gifts in the world, just like I clearly enunciated in my introduction. While we have significant personal limitations, we can't walk on water. God doesn't have limitations. He just doesn't. He can do what he wants to do. Look at Luke 18, 27. Jesus replied, "What is impossible with man, with human beings, is what? Possible with God." Our greatest personal limitations have nothing to do with our limitations. They have to do with our lack of faith, because we all are limited, but God isn't. And so the result of this unbelievable problem we have, this lack of faith, is that it keeps us from experiencing the unlimited possibilities of God. It's not my height that keeps me from experiencing the unlimited possibilities of God. It's not the fact that I wasn't so great at relationships when I started out in life that keeps me from the unlimited possibilities of God. It's not that I'm not equivalent to the greatest CEOs that have ever existed on this planet that is my biggest problem in leadership. It's a lack of faith. And it's yours too. I mean, look at what happened even to Jesus, Mark chapter 6. He could not do any miracles there. He was in his hometown. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. Jesus couldn't do what he wanted to do in his hometown. Why? Because those people pushed him away. He didn't have the impact he wanted in his hometown because of their lack of faith. And get this, the same is true for us. We don't experience the full impact of him in our lives because of our lack of faith. We need to stop blaming our circumstances. We need to stop blaming what he's given us and hasn't given us. We need to stop blaming the world and blaming our parents and blaming God and being mad at everybody else. And we need to start realizing that the breakthrough that needs to happen is with us. We need to start trusting him. I mean, we need to start trusting him. I hope you'll get this. Our lack of faith limits God's work and activity in our lives. And I just thought I'd show you three big areas so that you can, wow, this really does impact me. This is really my issue. Our lack of faith keeps us from experiencing his power. His power is available. His power has already been given. But we don't experience it, not because he's not given it or it's not real. It's because we don't trust him. I mean, look at John 15, 5. Jesus said, "I'm the vine, the source of power, the source of life. You're the branches. If a person remains in me and I in them, they'll bear much fruit. I mean, man, my power will run through them. But apart from me, you can do nothing." It's a faith issue. Our lack of faith keeps us from experiencing his provision. And we always think that the provisions of life come through our capacities, the jobs we can get, the things we can do, the doors we can pound open. It's not even true, because the reality is sometimes there are no available resources for provision. And what are your capacities going to do then? Nothing. But God can provide where there are no resources. We have to trust him because he's promised it. Look what he says in Matthew 6, starting with verse 30. "Oh, you of little faith, don't worry. Don't worry saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? I'm limited in my economic abilities. But he said, do this, seek first his kingdom. This is a faith issue. Seek first his righteousness. That's a faith issue. And what will happen? And all these things will be provided. God has no problem providing when there are no resources available. He created the universe out of nothing. Our lack of faith keeps us from experiencing his power and his provision, but it also keeps us from experiencing his pleasure. And many of us feel on the outside of his pleasure. I know I often feel on the outside of his pleasure because you know what? I blow it. I don't live up to expectation. All these different things. It's so true. You do. You know what it's like to blow it, right? And don't we feel like we're living outside of his pleasure? Like, why would God ever use me? What could he ever do with me? Come on. But we don't live outside of the experience of his pleasure because he doesn't want to give us his pleasure. It's because we don't trust him. It's like Jesus said, oh, Peter, you were walking on water, dude. Why'd you lack faith? It's not about your capacity. It's not about the wind. It's not about the storms. It's about me. Why do you lack faith? Look at Hebrews 11:6, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him has to believe that he exists. How can you experience his pleasure if you're always pushing him away and declaring he's not there, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him, not who are perfect, not who have all the capacities, but who earnestly seek him. Here's the truth that I want you to get off of this, and it'll move us forward in our conversation. The truth is that faith is essential for breaking through our personal limitations. Faith is essential. Faith. Isn't it sad that we work harder on everything else in our life and we let faith be the secondary or not even existing at all, and yet that faith is the only thing that's going to allow us to break through? It shouldn't be bottom rung. It should be top rung when it comes to our priorities. Faith. Look what Jesus said. The disciples had been given power to do anything Jesus had called them to do, even miracles and healings and all that different stuff in that day. And yet they confronted a little boy who had a problem and they couldn't do anything about it. They failed miserably. And then Jesus came and delivered the boy. But look what happened in Matthew 17, verses 19 and 20. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we do it? And he replied, because you have so little faith. Truly, I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. You could even walk on water if that's what I want you to do. It's not your capacity, it's your faith. Faith is essential to breaking through. It needs to be the focus of our lives. And I look at the limits that really hinder me, and I'm gonna generalize a little bit because I believe they apply to you as well. I mean, what are the limits that I have to break through that I need faith for? Well, one of the limits is my past. Faith is essential if we're going to break through the limits of our past. And can we just be honest? Our past puts huge limits on us. The past is one of the biggest limiters in our lives, to be honest with us. Think about it. We've blown it so many times, to put it in Peter terms. We've tried to walk on water and sunk so many times that now we expect to fail, right? I can overcome that temptation. No, I can't. I can experience peace in the midst. No, I can't. Often we don't even try anymore. And this is really hard for me too. I mean, I know what it's like to fail, and I know what it's like to not even want to try because, boy, I just don't have the capacity. After all, how could I ever walk on water? How could I ever overcome my greatest weaknesses? How can I ever rise above the circumstances that are holding me back? How can I ever experience God's promises? Who am I? How could I ever, and this is the big one for all of us, get past the darkness of my sin and my failures and my guilt and my shame? How can I get past it when I've never been able to before? Our past limits us, but with faith, we can break through. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, they can become a new creation. The old, the past, the limitations of it gone, the new has come. Listen, we will always be limited by our past when all we trust in is our own capacity. But we never have to be limited by our past when we trust in God's capacity. It's a faith issue. And all of us, in one way or another, in some degree or another, are held back by our past. If we're going to break through, we need to put faith in what God has done to break through our past, our sin, our guilt. And what he did was he sent Jesus. There's a great story in the Bible of a guy named Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. All right, there's a little song about that if you don't know. The key is Zacchaeus was the worst of the worst. He really was. He was a thief, a criminal. He didn't care about anyone but himself. And through it, he achieved, amassed great wealth. And everybody thought he was the worst of the worst. Jesus came to him one day and he says, I want to spend time with you. And that time with Jesus changed Zacchaeus' life forever. Jesus said, salvation's now come to his house. His past no longer defines him. Who he was no longer defines him. He's an entirely different person. And then he looked out in Luke 19, verse 10, and he said, and I want you to know, this is the reason I came. I came to seek and to save the lost, the failures, the sinners, the people filled with guilt and shame and darkness. That's why I came. That's why I died on the cross. That's why I rose again, to give you new life. But if we're going to break through the limits of our past and our sin, what do we have to do? We have to trust him. If we confess our sins to him, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But what do we have to do? We have to trust him enough to do it. This is so important. There's so much more to come, but this is so important that before we go any further, this is the moment we need to seize, all of us. Because most of us right now can't even imagine applying and experiencing God's promises because we are so bound up by our past, we need to let it go. And so would you do something unique with me? Would you just, right here in the middle of the talk, would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Just honor the moment. And if you're a believer here already in Jesus, you know you can still be imprisoned by your past. Why don't you do some confessing? But if you're here and you've never experienced Jesus forgiving you and freeing you from your past, saving you like he did Zacchaeus, why not pray with me now? Take my words in this prayer, but make them yours, okay? Just in your heart, not out loud, just say, Jesus, like Zacchaeus, I'm a mess. I've sinned, I've failed, I'm guilty. But I'm trusting what you said, that your life, your death, and your resurrection could save me and redeem me and forgive me. And so I'm putting my faith in you, giving you my sin, receiving your forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you just prayed with me that way, I really want to encourage you, man, that's the beginning of a whole new journey, and there are great next steps to take, and we've put together information about next steps that you can take, and we want to give you a Bible, but we just have to know you prayed with me. And we've made it really easy in this world of technology. Just send us a text, okay? The number you send the text to is 313131. It's easy, 313131. And then the only thing you have to text us, the message is Northridge, the name of the church, Northridge. And we'll send you that information, and it's a great step forward. But that's the beginning of the journey, right? We got to break through the limits of our past like Zacchaeus did. And then we need to break through the limits of our present. Because I have found that even when my past is forgiven, my present often limits me from my ability to trust, from my ability to experience God. The present limits us all big time because it's very often the difficulty we experience in the present, the treacherous stuff we're facing in the now, the obstacles right in front of us in our lives as we live them that keep us from experiencing God in our lives. I mean, just think about Peter again, right? Peter was walking on water. He was walking on water. But then in the present, he saw the wind, he saw the waves, he saw the storm, and he sank. And it's the same with us. Many of us have stopped leaning on and looking to God because our present is just too tough. You know, the loss of a job, the breaking part of a relationship, the tragedy of health, the darkness in our world is so tragically illustrated this week by what happened in New Zealand, and these things, they, whatever they are, they get us to just where we're to an impassable point. We can't trust God anymore. We can't believe anymore. We're done. But I have good news for you. With faith, we can break through the limits of our present. We can break through them. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. In all the worst that the present can bring, God can still work good. It doesn't make the present good. It doesn't make the circumstance good, but he can work good. And he proves it time and time again. Great example of this that helps me a lot in life is Joseph. Won't go into the story, but his brothers sold him into slavery, and after that, his entire life caved for over a decade. What I would have done was I would have been mad at my brothers and hoped to kill them one day. I would have been mad at God and rejected him. I would have pushed away from everything and everyone, and I would have tried to overcome it with my limited capacity, but he didn't. He just kept looking to God and trusting God in the present. Look at when he first saw his brothers, ultimately. He had the power to kill them. He was a powerful man in Egypt, and they were nobodies in Egypt, and they were afraid. But Genesis 50, verse 20, he said, "You intended to harm me, but God intended your tragic actions for good to accomplish what's now being done. I'm saving lives, including yours." He kept trusting God in the darkness because he knew God works good even in the darkness. Our great limiter in life is that we stop trusting God when the sun's no longer shining, but that's when we need God more than any time. Do you know how awesome it is to experience God's best? Most don't, because so few are willing to trust him to help them break through the present like Joseph did. Are you? So we're limited by the past, but we can break through it with faith. We're limited by the present, but we can break through it by faith. But you know what I find is a huge limiter in our lives? We're limited by the failure of our imaginations, for sure, and by the limits of our abilities. The limits of our abilities and imagination, they keep us from so much. This is so important to get. We are limited by what we know we can do and what we can't do. That's what we're limited by. We're in the boat with the 11 disciples watching Peter out there walk and then sink and then walk again, right? We're in the boat with the 11 and we're saying, "I'm not getting out of the boat. I can't walk on water." It's the limit of our abilities that keep us from going forward. It's the limit of our imagination. But we're not supposed to be limited by our abilities and our imagination. The only limit on us is God. And when we trust in him, we can find his way and do his thing. Look what Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is already at work within us." He can do more than we can imagine. He can do more than we ask. We can walk on water if that's what he wants us to do. Great example is Peter. We've seen it. We know it. Let it come to life in your view. Too many of us, and I hope you'll really listen to this thought, too many of us have a very limited picture of our own potential because we are limited by our faith. We live based on our limited potential rather than God's unlimited potential. We're listening to the wrong voices, our voice saying we can't, other people's voices saying we can't. It's time that we start listening to God's voice. And here's what God says: you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. All things. I mean, his limits are unlimited. We just have to believe. So let me give you the application. This is the so what in our life. This is where we really make this truth maybe sing a little bit in our lives. If we're going to break through our personal limitations, we need to do everything in our power to grow our faith. We need to do everything in our power to grow our faith. Look, I could practice basketball 5 hours every day of my life and I'll never dunk the ball. I'll never be any good. It just won't happen. But if God wants me to soar in that world, he can make me soar in that world. And why would I want to be in the world of basketball if that's not what God wants for me? And why would I want to walk on water if that's not what God wants for me? I want to be what God wants me to be. And my capacities have nothing to do with it. If he wants me to have a love with my wife for a lifetime, guess what? He'll do it. If he wants me to lead a church like this when I don't have the capacities, guess what? He'll do it. And if he wants Moses to stand on a mountain before a Red Sea and part it, he'll do it. And the same is true with us. I am telling you, if we're going to break through, we have to grow our faith. Stop practicing basketball so much and start working on your faith. It's top drawer, first priority, most important thing in every area of your life. And so how do we grow our faith, right? This isn't going to take a long time. This is pretty simple to say. It's tougher to do. How do I grow my faith? What's part of the everything here? Well, let me give you a couple suggestions. First thing is, ask God for it. Do you realize faith is a gift from God? It's not something I have the capacity to build in my life. You know, I don't get down and go, oh God, oh man, I'm gonna grow a faith. This is what I'm gonna do. The more I do, the less faith I have because I'm putting faith in myself. You know where it starts? God, yeah, I just don't have the capacity to believe you can do that. Give me the faith. Luke 17, 5, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Why don't you start making that your daily prayer? And then once you're praying, God, give me faith, increase my faith. Then you can also consistently expose yourself to God's word. And this is really important. I'm not talking about just hearing it and letting it bounce off the surface like water does a duck. I'm talking about expose yourself, your heart, your beliefs, your flaws to God's word. And look what it says, Romans 10, 17. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word of Christ. We need to make the word of God our focus and expose ourselves to it and apply it, and faith will begin growing. And then if we're really going to do what it takes to grow our faith, then once we're asking for it and in his word, we need to begin acting on faith over our feelings. What good is it to have faith if we stay in the boat? We have to act on faith. And I'm telling you, your feelings will never stop shouting down the idea. Yeah, I mean, I have followed Jesus a long time, and I am telling you that no matter how far I go in my journey with him, every next step, the feelings of my life, the senses I have, fight the move. And I just have to say, I'm going to trust you, God, more than my feelings. I'm telling you, every single one of us has stopped short of where God wants us to be right now, and we want to be right now, because we've allowed feelings to stop us instead of faith to move us on. I mean, look at the Bible, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't follow your feelings. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. I just want you to know, this is what every person of faith has done. Abraham and Sarah, Moses, David, Mary, the mother of Jesus, they acted by faith over feelings. Even Jesus did this. He didn't feel like going to the cross. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane going, oh my gosh, if you can take this from me. I know we've planned this forever, but the plan is different than the feeling. His humanity shouted, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. But he acted on his faith in the Father rather than the feelings in his humanity. If there's anything you can do, God, take it away, but whatever your will is, that's what I'm going to do. If we're going to grow in our faith and break through our personal limitations, we need to do the same thing. We need to do the same thing. Start taking steps of faith and an encouragement to do just that. The worship team is coming out to lead us in a song called Raise a Hallelujah. Now listen, and I hope you'll engage this. This song is all about the choice to act on faith over feelings. And when I first heard this song, I have to tell you, it literally blew me away emotionally. It blew me away emotionally because this isn't something that I see as your weakness. This is something that I experience as my weakness. And there was one phrase in this song that you're going to hear that captured me. I'll raise a hallelujah. Hallelujah is where I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to lift up His name. I'm going to magnify His name. I'll raise a hallelujah louder than my unbelief. Oh my gosh. I'm going to raise a hallelujah louder than my unbelief. I'm going to let my praise of God shout down the feelings of my fear and all this other stuff. And I want to encourage you to prayerfully engage this song right now. And if you desire for your faith to grow, let this be your anthem.
Let's worship together. I'm going to teach you the song before we sing it. So we're going to engage in a little bit of a call and response. I need you to be the worship team in the choir, okay? So I'll sing it and then you sing it. It goes, I'll raise a hallelujah. Sing it out, yes. I'll raise a hallelujah. You sound real good. In the presence of my enemies. Yeah. I'll raise a hallelujah.
I'll raise a hallelujah.
Louder than the unbelief. Okay, you got it. You're gonna sing it loud. We're gonna sing it proud together. Are you ready? Okay, put your hands together like this. Come on. This is our victory chant. We're gonna put our faith over our feelings. Put our faith over our unbelief. Come on.
Louder and louder.
God bless you. Thank you for worshiping with us. Have a great week.